So hello to everyone that's tuned in to this podcast today, and I'm very excited because I'm taking you all the way to Chicago. Woohoo! So I have got an amazing woman on board called Dana Lee, who is from Chicago in the US. And I just thought it'd be really good to speak to Dana Lee. She's a massive advocate of exercise and how it helps those affected with Parkinson's. So we're just going to have a chat, and I thought it would help you to hear about her life, the things she's doing to help herself keep positive with the condition. So without further ado, Dana, it's lovely to see you. Really nice.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm very excited to be here today.
So you are, I'm going to be rude now, it's awful at this point, you're 50, is that right?
I just turned 50 on April 21st. Yeah.
So just turned 50, and you were diagnosed last year, is that correct? Age 49.
I was diagnosed, well, I had my official diagnosis September 2020.
Okay.
I had been told November 2019 that I had Parkinson's from a neurologist. However, I went to get a second opinion, and they were not so sure. They thought that maybe it was something else. So it took a while to get that final diagnosis. And getting that final diagnosis was having what's called a DAT scan, and then starting me on levodopa, carbidopa, and seeing how I responded to the medication. And since I responded well to the medication, that they did in fact give me that diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. 2020. So it's still pretty new. It was a long drawn out diagnosis. I never really fully accepted it. So.
And I think the thing is, it is a drawn out diagnosis for everyone that I speak to, because, you know, you're so young. And I think, you know, anyone in the healthcare professionals, and certainly, you know, the average person walking down the street would not link up the symptoms you had with Parkinson's. What symptoms were you experiencing before you were diagnosed?
Well, I can tell you, you know, it started probably around 5 years ago, where I just started not feeling quite right. Just achy and sore and tired, and just, you know, I was chalking it up to just getting older. But I think what really, the first thing that really pushed me to go see a doctor was I was working as an intern. I had gone back to school to work in the addictions field, and I was doing my internship, and I was holding a clipboard, and I noticed that I was gripping the clipboard so hard, and that my ring finger would kind of spasm and spasm out. And I thought that was strange. Yeah. And then I noticed that my left arm stopped swinging when I would walk. And just from there, and then just little things here and there, and then my neck started to hurt, and then my left leg started to drag. It was just one thing after another. And so, you know, I thought maybe it was MS. I thought it was maybe fibromyalgia. I thought I had a stroke, you know. And so I finally went to my doctor. I said, I need to see a neurologist. I think that's what I need to do. So,
well, that's very clever of you to recognize that.
I kind of had to be my own advocate, because for so long I had been told, for the, you know, even though I was just starting to have those symptoms, I was having a lot of symptoms for a while, and they just kept saying, you're going into menopause, you're a single mom, you know, you have stress, and it's just, and I just knew my body. I knew something was definitely wrong.
And that again is really familiar, certainly to me, you know. And even to myself, I was like, oh well, I'm just getting old, and I'm perimenopausal, and I've got three kids, and, you know, depression, stress, anxiety, well, that happens to everyone. And so, but for you to listen to your body, I mean, you're a yoga instructor.
So
that probably helped.
I during this time I was teaching yoga, not a lot, just here and there. And I was very aware of my body. And that was one thing. Yoga started becoming very hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I was so stiff and rigid, and it was just, and so consequently, I kind of stepped away from the practice because it was just so frustrating. And,
That's the key word, isn't it? It's frustration. You're telling your body to do it, but it won't do it. And I mean, I've noticed that in exercise classes, not necessarily the sort of repetitive ones, but anything where I have to do like a dance class. I mean, I'm just, and I used to be, I considered myself quite a good dancer. And then I was like, what? My body just won't. Oh, it's just so slow.
It's slow. Sometimes it just sticks. Like my left leg especially just feels heavy.
Sticks
like
to the floor.
Lift it.
So you went and said, I need to see a neurologist. And was that okay? Or was that fought against?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Sorry, the healthcare system, did they, when you went and said, you know, I know my body, I think I need to see a neurologist because of X, Y, Z, did they then say, okay, you know, we'll give you an appointment? Or did they say, I don't think you need to?
No, my doctor agreed he referred me. At this time, I was under an HMO, so I had to go to someone in network. So he sent me to a neurologist that was in his network, and he was, I hate to say this, he was terrible. He looked 5-10 minute exam, and he says, well, you have Parkinson's and I want you to take this medication and I'll see you in 3 months.
Oh my goodness me.
And he gave me this so I went home and I started this medication, and all it did was give me terrible gas. And
what medication was it that he prescribed?
Ropinirole.
Okay.
He told me that not to start carbidopa, levodopa, that was not something that you should do right away. And so I didn't feel comfortable with this doctor. So I started doing research on my own. And I found a movement disorder specialist, because that's what I was told to see. That's what the research that I did.
Yeah.
And he happened to take my insurance out, you know, luckily. So I saw him, and he's a great neurologist. However, he didn't think that it was definitely Parkinson's. He thought it was a drug induced Parkinson's because of some medication that I had been on for depression.
Yeah.
Because I had been suffering from depression for years.
Same. Yeah. I've gone down the antidepressant route. Yeah.
So I never saw that other doctor again. And then I went off the ropinirole, and I didn't go on any medication for probably three or 4 months. And I continued to see this doctor, and I felt like I needed more answers. He says, I don't think that's what it is. I'm like, well, let's figure it out. So during this time, I went back to work working in behavioral health, and I got some really good insurance. So I decided I'm going to go to the best.
Okay.
I went into Chicago, and I went to Rush, which is a fabulous hospital in the city. And I saw one of the best neurologists there. And he did an exam, and he again says, I don't think this is Parkinson's.
Oh, goodness me. That's so difficult for you.
It was so difficult.
Down.
At that point, you want answers. You're like,
of course you do.
Something's wrong, you know, and am I going crazy? Is it all in my head? So we did it. He says, I'm going to order a bunch of tests. So I had tests after, MRIs, CAT scans. I had the DAT scan. I had blood tests. And they did the DAT scan, and sure enough, it came back and it showed that on the right side of my brain, they didn't have the dopamine. And that makes sense because the left side is what's affected.
So I'm the opposite.
So oh, you are?
Yeah. But that's exactly what the DAT scan showed. Yeah.
So they put me on levodopa carbidopa, and I responded right away. And they said that that was a good sign, but that there is a possibility that I could have what's called MSA, which is multiple system atrophy. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
No, I'm not. I mean, I've spoken to another person earlier with young onset who went on to levodopa, and it's working really well. It took her a long while to get the right dose. She's now on it 5 times a day, but no, do tell me.
So it's called multiple system atrophy, and from what it's a neurological disease, and from what I can gather, it's kind of like ALS, where you're given probably 5 to 7 years lifespan. Basically your body just kind of breaks down. So it was an awful diagnosis.
Oh.
For a while I thought I might have this, but it was depending on how I responded to the levodopa and if it continued to work. So the fact that it worked right away was good, but they needed to keep seeing me, seeing me for the next few months. And I just kept getting better and responding well. And that's when they decided that, and they were not 100%, because they're never 100% sure, because it's just one of those diseases, you can't just take a blood test, but that it was in fact Parkinson's. So 3 doctors later.
Yeah.
And a lot of worrying, and it was a relief,
That's the second person I spoke to today that said, when I said, how did you feel? She said, well, my family was shocked. I was relieved. I was thankful that at last, after seeing so many people like you, and her husband worked in the medical, environment, and thank goodness at last someone told me what I've got.
And I knew that it was progressive and degenerative, and that it was just going to get worse. But I knew that there was ways that I could work with it, and I knew there was medication that I could take, and I already knew that exercise was the only proven thing to slow the progression. So because during that time of all this happening, I had met Jimmy Choi, and I don't know if you are aware of Jimmy Choi or if he's well known in the States, but he's kind of somewhat famous here in the United States. He was he lives 20 minutes from me, and he's been on American Ninja Warrior, and he's broken 2 world records.
Yeah.
So I actually met him, and I work out with him in his gym. So,
I saw a video of someone on Ninja Dip. Has he got Parkinson's?
Yes.
Yes.
Was diagnosed when he was, I believe, is either 27 or 29.
Oh my goodness.
I believe it was 27. He was diagnosed in his 20s. His story is unbelievable. If anybody wants to, you can just Google Jimmy Choi, and there's stuff all over the internet about his story. And he's just so inspirational. And I'm so blessed that I was able to meet him.
How wonderful that your paths crossed.
Oh, I mean, well, yeah, I was just, so lucky and so glad that he's nearby, and he worked out at a gym near my home, and I messaged him, and he got back to me right away, and he's like, come work out with me. And
it took
a few weeks for me to go. I was a little, I don't know. And I went, and I was just so inspired and so, it was just so nice to meet somebody, and he had such a positive outlook, and he says, look, this is what you need to do. You just have to push, and you got to keep exercising and then keep exercising more after that. Like, so
let's talk about this exercise, because, you know, okay. I'm sure people listening will have heard that exercise is one of the key things. Mm-hmm. And what has it done to you? And, you know, how has it helped you? And have you seen the effects?
Oh, it's helped me tremendously. Like, I can say for a fact, if I miss a day of exercise, even if it's just a walk around the block,
yeah,
I feel it, especially the next day.
Yeah.
My gait gets thrown off. I get stiff. I get rigid. Really affects my mental thinking. You know, the depression kicks in. If I exercise and when I do my strength training and I really, really push myself and get the dopamine and the serotonin and all that, this blood pumping, I feel fantastic. And that goes throughout the day, and I feel like my medication lasts longer, and it's vital. I feel like it's more important than the medication, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, I of course I need the medication, very important, but I feel like the exercise in conjunction with medication is the key.
And that's really interesting that you mentioned strength training, because it's one of the things I do. I teach kettlebells classes as well as HIIT classes. But I think with the exercise, certainly who I was speaking to earlier was saying that, you know, you need to raise that heart rate in order for exercise to be effective. But I think it's important for people to realize that doesn't mean you've got to be jumping around. Because obviously jumping around or moving to exercise can be very difficult with Parkinson's.
It can.
But when we're talking about strength training, then, you know, incorporating muscle and movement together, combining the two, that's when you're going to, and doing lots of different exercises. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, I've seen some of the videos of you working out, really similar to what I do. You know, if you're doing different exercises and not the same thing over again, I think that really helps, and your body never gets used to what's coming next.
Exactly. And I think doing jump roping was really good. It's really good for the brain, you know. I don't know if they're called a ladder.
Yeah.
Like jumping in between, like doing sequences and stuff. That's really good. It's just using the brain along with, you know, the body is so important.
That's really interesting. I know that Alzheimer's, the elderly people, table tennis is meant to help, again, because it's the movement, but you're concentrating, you know, with the brain as well.
Yeah, that's one thing I want to try is, I don't know if this, in the UK, if it's popular, but we have what's called pickleball.
Oh, I don't. I've never. It sounds great.
It's like tennis.
Yeah.
But it's a smaller court, and it's supposed to be really fun and really easy. And I was like, I want to try that this summer.
We've probably got something similar. Because I'm my brother's a big tennis player, and I don't know what it's called. Mm-hmm. Do you play against a wall, or are you putting it over a net?
It's over a net, and it's two people. Yeah. It's four people. It's doubles, so it's a, and you're closer together, so it's kind of a social fun game.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah. And that's the other thing in terms of the social side. I mean, how have you got other friends with Parkinson's?
Well, I have my friend Jimmy.
Yes, I mean, fantastic.
which is fine, but he's, you know, he's so busy, and he travels all over the, you know, world doing stuff, and he's got a family, and, you know, so and I also wanted to meet women that were my age. So I did go to a support group, an in-person support group, and this was during COVID, but this was when they were starting to allow people to come face-to-face with masks, and it was a young onset support group, but I went and it didn't seem like there was anybody there that was very young. I mean,
they
might have been diagnosed at a young age, but they were older and they were much, just in a different time of their life, you know. They
that's not great if you go to a support group for young onset right. and they're old.
So I was hoping to meet other women like me that are very active, and but I had not found anybody in the area. Yeah. So Facebook and Instagram and Instagram, when I started my Instagram account, that's where I met several people like you.
Yeah.
And we just started this Wednesday night group where we Zoom, and whoever wants to jump on, and it's all young onset women.
Oh, there's about fantastic.
6 or 7 of us.
Oh my goodness, that's
so
crazy.
That's just started. So, but that's, I mean, and I it's so important to have people that just understand. I mean, I have friends that support me, but they just don't, they have no idea. They don't know, you know, right. Until you live it, it's just, it's just not the same. So.
No, I totally agree. I mean, you know, you obviously want your, I don't want to say normal because I wouldn't consider us abnormal, but you want your, you know, everyday friends in your life because you don't want to be thinking about it, you know, all the time.
Right.
But equally, you know, it is really important to say, you know, I found out today, you know, I get really tired in the evenings and sometimes a bit cross or less patient. And I just thought, well, I'm older. Well, you know, I'm not old, but 46, I'm getting older, got 3 kids, I work out, I'm just tired. But actually, you know, I found out that the dopamine obviously drops more in the evenings.
It does.
So actually, that could be a factor.
Yeah, and I find that it's really interesting with Parkinson's. You can have really good days and some really bad days, and you just don't know when that's going to happen. And yeah. It's hard for people to understand because they see me and they're like, "Well, you're fine. You're doing great.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't seem like, you know, you seem so much better." It's just I'm having a good day, and then they'll see me, you know, 2 days later, and I'm kind of limping a little. You know, I have a kind of a funny gait when my medicine's not working or having an off day. So it's just hard for people to understand, you know. Mm.
So with your medication at the moment, so it's working great. How often do you have to go back? Do you have to go back and see the doctor and get a yearly check, or is it more than that?
Right now I'm seeing him like every 3 months because I just started doing medication. So I'm still on the carbidopa levodopa, but I'm on what's called Rytary.
Okay.
And it's an extended release carbidopa levodopa, because I was noticing that I was having wearing off. So there was like maybe an hour.
Yeah.
A time where I was just not doing well, and
that's
not acceptable.
No. So you start off in the morning when you wake up, presumably, and then how long approximately will it last until you need another pill?
Usually it's about 5 hours.
Okay.
5 hours. So my routine is I take a dose at 6 a.m. because I'm an early riser.
Yeah.
11 a.m. and 4.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I'm usually, you know, I'm in bed pretty early. I'm a early to bed, early to rise person. So that usually.
Oh, so am I. It's heaven, isn't it? Why, it's the best part of the day getting into bed. And then, yeah, I love the early mornings as well.
Right. So, I mean, and then the one thing that I have found that I'm learning is it's so important to have an empty stomach. Like, I can't have any food. And they say protein, but it for me, it's anything. Affects the way the medication works. So I make sure my dose is at 6 a.m. with, you know, with black coffee. I was drinking with, you know, non-dairy milk, and I was finding that that even affected it a little bit. So I switched to black coffee, and then I'll have like around 9, I'll eat a breakfast, and then
okay.
So it's just I have to time it out. And then I've also recently switched to more plant-based.
Yeah.
Less protein.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Thinking that I needed a lot of protein, but I really don't.
Yeah.
I seem to be okay without it. I have the bulk of my protein in the evening. So.
Yeah. Again, I think someone today that said meat affected her. That so she, again, very healthy diet. It's not plant-based, but she definitely, they have, you know, they eat very well. She has vegetarian meals throughout the week, fish. But when she does eat meat, she feels the effect from that, mm-hmm. which I thought was interesting, because I was under the impression that eating protein helped your, you know, helped the brain. So,
I mean, that's what I'm doing right now. Who's to know? I'm kind of in that period where I'm trying out things. So,
yeah. And that's what's so brilliant about, you know, hopefully all these podcasts and speaking to people, because, you know, I've found out loads of things just from speaking to 2 people today. So I think it's really going to help people. You are a mum as well, so not only you've got work, you may be returning to yoga, you work out. Have your kids, are they okay? I mean, I think, am I right in saying that they're one's teenager or approaching that age?
They're both teenagers.
So they're probably more consumed with their own lives than
they're
mine.
My 17-year-old, my son is 17. He'll be 18 in September. He's been really supportive, and he's quite the cheerleader, and he's very proud of me and how hard I work at staying healthy, and you know, and he doesn't want anybody feeling sorry for me.
No, well, I don't think any of us do. And how lovely! I mean, that's super.
Yeah, he's a great kid. And my daughter, she's 14, and she is on the autism spectrum.
Okay.
And so that's another added challenge in the house.
Yeah.
But she is she's high functioning. She goes to regular school. She has a learning specialist that's with her at school. She worries, you know, she just worries that I'm okay, you know. She's always checking in, how you feeling today, are you okay, you know. She's very honest. She's like, you know, you look a little tired.
What lovely children, they sound fantastic. Well, for her,
they are fantastic,
you know, because she presumably likes a routine, and you know, to know what's coming next.
Yeah, I mean, and they knew that something was going on for a while. They knew that I had been going to doctors and I had to have lots of tests. So they were aware
that
something was up. So,
yeah. But, you know, now, you know, you've got it at the moment. It's never completely under control, because unfortunately it's a degenerative disease. So, you know, we're always going to be wondering what's around the corner. But at the moment, living in the moment, you've got the medication under control, you're exercising, you're looking after your diet, and you've got that fantastic positive mindset, which I think is just so honourable and so lovely to see. What would you say to anyone that's been recently diagnosed, sort of to help them? Are there any words of advice that you could give anyone?
I would have to say, you can't look at it as a death sentence. You know, it's not a good diagnosis. No one wants to hear those words. But I think maybe being able to kind of just looking at your life in a different way. For me, it's given me a completely different outlook on life. I appreciate my life so much more. I'm trying things that I never thought I would try. I would never put myself on a podcast. I would never, you know, but it's like, why not? You know?
Yeah.
I have to, so just, I think it takes a while to accept and digest, and I understand that, but kind of maybe looking, and it's going to sound really crazy, but looking at it as a gift, like you've been given
yes,
you know.
I mean, it's what a wonderful bunch of people I've met
the most incredible people, with people like Jimmy and you know, just with these, you know, just this positive attitude and really wanting to live and to experience things and to help others, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, selfishly, I can say I get a huge thrill and great joy in helping others. So mm-hmm. not only are you helping them, but you're helping yourself, because it just, you know, it feels nice.
It does. But
it's interesting that, isn't it, that you describe it as a gift, because I would agree with you. It's like before you're diagnosed, you just sort of go along with life. Mm-hmm. And also, given that, okay, we're not 20 anymore, but you just think, oh, well, I'll do that in the future. And, you know, mm-hmm. you just sort of carry on and you think, oh, I'll do that in 10 years or when the kids have left. And it does change you, and it does make you look up when you walk outside and appreciate the birds singing or nature around you and think, you know, what do I want to do? And yeah, absolutely, help other people that, you know, that aren't as lucky as us with this mindset that we seem to have found somehow.
Right. Yeah,
that's. I think people will be very encouraged to hear you say that. So, so we're thinking of. Well, we're not thinking. We are going to do a monthly webinar where we're going to have different guest speakers on, and I'm not sure what time, if it will correlate with you, but we'd love to have you join us. Have some international stars. And then I'm thinking in the future, Dana, I think events worldwide, we come to Chicago, you come to Bath.
Oh, I would love to.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to Barcelona for the World Congress. I'm definitely going.
When is that?
It's June 2022.
Oh, I'm writing it down now. Well, I mean, I'm sure Parkinson's Care and Support UK, we're going. That would be great.
Yeah,
that will come around quickly. And Barcelona, have you been to Barcelona?
No, I have not. My children have. They went with their dad, and so my son wants to go with me and show me around.
Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely. Yeah. Well, that's a date then. So everyone listening, we can all hook up in Barcelona in June 2022. Oh my goodness, would that be my 50th? So I'm 47. No, I'll be 49. Nearly. Mm. Nearly. Right, well, thank you so much for
your
time. I appreciate you giving up your time so much.
I'm honored to be on and to talk about it, and
it's just wonderful. And the more we talk about it and the more we spread the word and let people realize it's not just for the elderly, you know, it's young as well, then that's going to only help with ultimately finding a diagnosis. And by you talking about what you eat and exercise, etc., is just going to help people on a day-to-day basis, which is hugely important as well. So I'm going to love you and leave you, and thank you very much. What time is it in Chicago? Are you about to have your lunch?
It's 1:30. So I've got a full day ahead of me.
Yay! And I'm going to settle down on the sofa. Right, I'm going to say goodbye. Thank you again,
Danny. Okay. Thank you.
See you. Bye. Okay.